our own Pastor Chuck Wood's birthday today. And I'll get to share a few things in a minute, but I want Pastor Aaron. Come on, give Pastor Aaron a big God bless as she comes.
Well, I am thankful to be able to be a small part of what we're going to do tonight. And we're going to talk, obviously, about honor. And so I get to kind of lay a foundation of what that word is and what it means and what the Bible says about honor. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into it. God, I thank you again for this time. I just pray that as words are spoken, God, that you will just speak through every moment, through everything that is said, God, that you would be the heart and the center of it all. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So honor. The word honor means to have high respect, great esteem, to regard with respect. When you show honor to someone, you lift them up. You inspire them, and you encourage them. You are showing them that you care and that they are important to you. That's what the word honor means. And so, of course, I wanted to look into the Bible and see what the Bible says about the word honor and who we should honor. So I just have five things really briefly, and then Pastor Ryan will come up. The first person that we need to honor is God. We need to honor God first. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So honor the Lord with your wealth. When you do that, he covers everything after that, right? So we respect God with what he's given to us by honoring him with our wealth. And then in Psalm 22, 23, it says, praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. Honor him. So we want to lift up God's name. That's why we come here together and we lift him up. We worship him. We give him all the glory and the honor. We're respecting who God is in our life and we're putting him first. So we honor God first. And then the second thing that the Bible talks about honoring is honoring our parents. In Exodus 20:12, it says, the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. Honoring your parents. Now, I realize coming from me, I've been blessed with great parents, and it's easy for me to honor them because they're amazing. And I realize also that some people may not come from the best kind of home. Then you're like, why am I honoring someone that my parents that maybe didn't bring me up the best way? And the thing that I thought of was Pastor Marty. When he gets up and he begins to talk about his parents, even though, you know, there's a situation where his dad wasn't maybe the best, he still honors him in the way that he talks about him. He never disrespects him. So there's ways that you can honor your parents in a way that still shows respect and everything. So that's what the Bible says about honoring our parents. So we honor God first. We honor our parents. We honor those in authority. Romans 13:7 says, give respect and honor to those who are in authority. So even though, you know, it's a hot topic on Facebook right now and I'm not going to get into it, we still need to be honoring. We still need to be respectful. We still need to be praying and believing for those that are in authority because that's what the Bible has called us to do. And then in 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. So not only do we honor the authority above us, we also need to give the elders of the church double honor, it says. A long time ago, it was one of the first youth conferences I ever took a youth group to. A guy named Ed Young was teaching, and he said this quote, and I've never forgotten it. He said, you have to get under what God has placed over you so you can get over what God has placed under you. You see, there's a blessing that happens when you get under the authority that God has placed over you, when you get under your pastors, under your leaders, under the elders, under your bosses. We have to respect and honor those in authority because there's a protection that happens. And when you get under those that are over you, you can get over those things that God has placed under you. There's a blessing that happens when you have accountability and honor to those in authority. So you honor God first. You honor our parents. We honor those in authority. We honor one another. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring one another. Honoring one another, showing respect to everyone, and that means everyone. My mom always says, I love you. I don't have to like you, but I love you. And so, but we still have to show honor to those people that maybe don't see the world the way that we do. Maybe, you know, we get in disagreements, but we still have to show respect and we still have to honor those people. So we honor one another. And then lastly, we honor those who are older. Leviticus 19:32 says, stand up in the presence of the elderly and show respect for the aged. Fear your God. I am the Lord. You know, I love it when Pastor Marty and Pastor Ryan often talk about cottonheads in their life, right? And what they're talking about is those people that have that wisdom. They've been living life a little bit, so you have to lean in and you have to listen. You should be gleaning from those people that have lived life a little longer than you have, right? So we honor those that are older. And tonight, thinking about all those things, that people that we're supposed to be honoring, tonight we take time to honor Pastor Chuck. He's been faithful, loyal, and a servant in the house of God. And we want to encourage you tonight and lift you up and honor you. Calvin Coolidge once said, no person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave. And we just want to be a voice of encouragement to you tonight. We thank you for encouraging the next generation. Quick story, and then Pastor Ryan will come up. Every time after I've spoken, and I've seen him do this with Pastor Ryan. I've seen him do this with the, you know, younger preachers. He'll walk down the aisle and he'll go like this. And so, of course, it's Pastor Chuck. You have to walk over and you know, you lean in and he'll just start encouraging. Yeah, that was a great job. You keep going. You've got a gift. I love it when you said that spot on. He'll go, you know, and so it's getting to the point where if he doesn't do that, I'm kind of scared. But I think it's such a beautiful thing that he just loves the word of God so much, that he believes in it so much, that he's encouraging the next generation to go after it and to continue to speak that. And so thank you for taking time to speak life to those around you and for continually seeking God. We honor you tonight, and happy birthday.
You can give Pastor Aaron a bigger hand than that. Come on, that was great. That was a wonderful word. And I just want to say this tonight. Happy birthday, Grandpa. When my grandfather passed away, and then I'm gonna just a quick lesson that the Holy Spirit has given me for my life in the Scripture. But before I do that, when my grandfather passed, right at the funeral, Grandpa Chuck Wood was there, and he approached me, and my heart was broken. I was close with my grandfather, and he had passed, and Grandpa Chuck walked up to me, and many in the church say, now, how is that his grandfather? And Grandpa just said, it's a lot to explain. And he came up to me when my grandfather had passed, and he said, I'm not your grandfather, but I want to be your grandfather. Many of you have heard me tell that story. That's what the body of Christ is about. That's what the family of God is about. Is getting behind one another, and Grandpa has definitely been a grandfather to me, Grandpa Chuck, and many other young men and women in this place. Can I hear a little amen around the place? So we honor you tonight. I want to read something to you that I had read some time ago, and I want to talk about honor just for a couple minutes. And honor is a tough subject right now, right? Culture is kind of it's kind of a dishonoring culture that we live in, quite honestly. If you turn on the news for any time, if you're on social media for any time, it's tough to find an honoring statement. It's tough to find an honoring post. It's tough to find an honoring article. But I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit, God Himself, has called us to honor not only those in authority, but one another. It's very important. Aaron just gave a wonderful lesson on the importance of honoring our parents and honoring those that are in authority and honoring those that the Lord has placed in our lives to be leaders to us. But I think it's equally as important for me to honor you, for me to honor the every person that walks in this place, that we show honor and love and kindness that God has shown us to one another. And I want to read this to you really briefly tonight. It's in Numbers 12. And if you'd care to look at it later, it's just a short story. And I believe it's a depiction of what the Holy Spirit would like to teach us in our own lives. And it says this: Miriam and Aaron begin to talk against Moses. And just stay with me just a few minutes, because I believe that God is going to leave an imprint on your heart the way he has mine. Because of his Cushite wife, he had married a Cushite. And they begin to say, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they ask. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And the Bible says that the Lord heard this. And I want to just give you four quick points on honor. Number one, you see this depicted in the scripture. You can't honor one another if you're jealous of one another. You can't be honoring to the people that you live with. You can't be honoring to the people that you go to church with. You can't honor people that you wish that you had their gift. And let me just say this. I've watched Grandpa Chuck for the last 30 years nearly. And never once did I catch an iota, a resemblance, even the slightest insinuation that he had jealousy. My father preached every Sunday, two services, three services, every Thursday night. And Grandpa Chuck walked through the doors of the church. He taught his Bible study. And I'll give you a little further testimony. Even before Aaron and I ever communicated from this pulpit, I would watch Grandpa Chuck walk up to my father every Sunday. I'm not talking for a month. I'm not talking fair weather for friends tonight. I'm talking consistency. I'm talking every Sunday for years and years. He walk up to my dad and say, "That might be the best message you've ever preached." Never a resemblance of jealousy. Never once. If you want to be used of the Lord, if you want to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, if you want to do what God has called you to do, you'll walk in a spirit of honor. And let me just say this. It's not easy. You might do it some weeks and your teeth might be gritting together while you do it. But ask God, "Give me a spirit of honor for other people." Number one, walk in a spirit of honor. Resist jealousy at every turn. Verse 4 says this: "At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, 'Come out to the tent meeting, all three of you.'" Listen to this. "The Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, 'Come out of the tent of meeting, all three of you.' So the three of them came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, and he stood at the entrance of the tent and summons Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, 'Listen to my words.'" And many of you know the story. He began to lecture the two of them. My second point: God will not allow someone to stay in his house and be used of his Holy Spirit that has a spirit of dishonor. Follow me for a second. I have watched many men and women, and I'm sorry to say this, come and go because they do not have a spirit of honor for other people. You say, "What do you mean by that?" When their actions and their heart and their spirit carry a dishonor, they will never stay in the temple. One quick point. They were in the tabernacle. That is a representation of the temple of God. That's his house. That is the church. And it says the first thing he does is he says, "Come out of my temple." And he begins to speak to them. Profound teaching. You will see people removed from the house of the Lord when they carry a spirit of dishonor. I know it's not fun. 30 years. He has been in this house with this people under the man of God who's younger than him. not a couple days younger than him, many years younger than him, and he's had an honoring spirit. That's why he stayed in the house of God. It goes on to say this. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true for my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak to him face to face clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you afraid to speak? Were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Goes on to say this. The anger of the Lord burned against them, and they left them. When the cloud lifted from the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Aaron turned towards her and saw her, and that she had leprosy, and then said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold this against her." My third point, and I'm almost done. Dishonor creates isolation. It's interesting in this story. Miriam is dishonoring. She speaks against God's man, God's house, God's work. Because she lets something become a part of her. And what became a part of her became her. She became leprous. Leprosy, if you don't know, it's very contagious. If you get around someone who's a dishonoring person, guess what all of a sudden begins to become a part of you? Dishonor. Leprosy. Leprosy in itself creates isolation from the body of God, from the people of God. And let me take you a step further, from the Spirit of God. Do not let dishonor become a part of you. As long as I've watched my grandfather, he's carried an honoring spirit. He's always loved to be around God's people. And let me say this. Every person I've watched come underneath his teaching and his lineage has come out with a spirit of honor for the house of God. Ooh, that's powerful. Every person. So you have to be careful because that leprosy is contagious. If you don't think that if I'm dishonoring, my son won't become dishonoring, you've missed it. The people who you hang around will become a representation of who you are. Please, my Lord, do not hold it against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like the stillborn infant coming from the mother's womb, with its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord. Listen to these words. Oh God, please heal her. The Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. My last point. Many people over the years I've seen fallen away. And our tendency as people is to say, she got what she deserved. He got what he deserved. Yeah, they got theirs. What Moses does here is he says, please, Lord, show your hand of grace. Show your hand of mercy. Show your hand of love. Because he had a spirit of honor. I've watched people make mistakes, make total screw-ups, some of which are sitting right in this room, me, myself. And I've watched my grandfather at that back door look for the brokenhearted, the hurting, the person in pain, the most neglected, and come to them. And minister God's grace and God's love and God's mercy because he's a man of honor. I want to encourage you tonight. I'm just going to take one more minute, Dad. this month is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I promise you, I don't want a thing from you. Give me a hug. Give me a smile. Go ahead, do it right now. But you have three pastors in the house who deserve that honor. I want you to make a special trip to the candy store. I want you to get a card. I want you to be a people of honor. I want you to be a people of love and respect and kindness. I want you to bless your pastors, Pastor Chuck, Pastor Marty, Pastor Aaron. I want you to love, bless, kindness, because that's who we are, and that's what we're called to. Can I get an amen? My dad's birthday is this month, too. It's a month of it this month. Big birthdays this month. You have an opportunity. And I'll end by saying this, and they've trained me well because I've ended three times now. When you honor people, remember me telling you this, when you honor people, miracles will happen in your life. Mark chapter 6, Jesus said a prophet is without honor in his own town. And the Bible literally says he could do no miracles. The reason he could do no miracles is because he wasn't honored in his hometown. You want a miracle in your life? You can throw this to the wayside, or you can embrace this as it is. You want a miracle? You want signs? You want wonders in your home? Begin to honor those who have gone before you tonight. Grandpa, I honor you. I love you. Dad, I love and honor you. Would you give him a hand tonight as he comes?
Great job. I'm going to be 5 minutes, and I'm going to want maybe six people. I want you to be ready. You're not going to get up here and take 5 minutes. You're going to take 45 seconds. So you can get mad at me or not. I'm timekeeper. So I want you to do that, and I want you to come up, and I want you to say three things that you absolutely love about Chuck, three things, something that he helped you with. So I want you to be thinking right now. Okay, are you thinking? Are you thinking? Okay, and don't go to the candy store for me, please. Go for Chuck. I want to just say something, too. Chuck, we're not doing this tonight because are you 82? I'm not doing this because you're 82. You had an accident. You're a little wobbly on the stick. You're going to get over with that stick. You're going to be stronger. You and I are going to go shoot guns. But you're not going to hurt me like you did the one time. You're going to recover. I want everybody to know he's not going anywhere. I speak that over your life in the name of Jesus. I felt the Lord just tell me to say that. Because you've honored, God, his promise is on you to give you a long life. I'm sitting here tonight and I'm thinking about this, and I've wanted to do a series on honor for a long time, and I think, you know, it's coming. I just wanted you to know that. But we need to continually cultivate that culture of honor in our lives. And tonight we honor Chuck, but we need to continually honor one another. Put others first before ourselves. Philippians 2 says, don't do anything out of selfish conceit. Put others above yourself. When you put others above yourself, you honor them and you honor God. You do that. Recognize and celebrate other people. Not just look for them to celebrate you all the time. Regard one another with your words when you're not in front of them. See, tonight it's really great. We're all going to talk great about Chuck, but what you do when he's not around and what you say about him when he's not around means everything. You know, one of the greatest little stories about that, just of recent, Ron Cervone looks at Chuck like his dad. And he was, back when Chuck was in the hospital, Ron would call me up. He'd be crying on the phone. He said, I love that man so much. And I thought, How beautiful that was. How precious that was. Chuck was nowhere to be around, and Ron is weeping over the man that he loves. My brothers and sisters, that is true honor, isn't it, though? Come on, I said that's real honor tonight. And when you bless other people, there is a blessing that comes to you. You know the story of Noah in the book of Genesis in chapter 9. The Bible says that after the flood was over, the Bible says that Noah, and I found this so interesting when I refreshed my mind on it today, said he was a man of the soil. Here's Noah who was in a boat, and he didn't see land for a long time. And then the scripture starts out to say he was a man of the soil, and he grew a garden. The Bible says he drank of the grapes that he drank, that he created, and he got drunk, and he passed out naked. Better watch what you do, okay? And the Bible says that three of his sons out of the three, one of them by the name of Ham, came and looked on him with disdain. The Bible says the other sons, Shem and Japheth, backed up with a blanket and covered up his nakedness. The Bible says when Noah came to and he found out what Ham did, he said, "Cursed are you." But he said to the other two boys, "You're going to have increase. You're going to be blessed." Let me say this to you. When you and I honor, tonight we're honoring Chuck, but when we live a life of honor, you are not only blessed, but your children and your grandchildren are blessed too. Come on tonight. When you dishonor and you live that life, you will, listen to me, just I want you to think about this. When you live a life of dishonor, you will see it throughout the whole lineage of a home. Amen. Let me give you some biblical examples of honorable people, and I'm going to be done. Joseph, when he didn't divorce Mary when she was pregnant with Jesus. Every reason? David, when he spared King Saul's life. King Saul was after to kill him, and he spared his life. Honor. Joseph, when he refused to lie with Potiphar's wife. Job, when he refused to curse God and die. Every reason in the world. The life of the excellent woman in Proverbs 31. And the most honorable one was Jesus, who died on the cross and said, I'm going to preach about it on Sunday out of Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. That's honor. That's honor. And tonight, and those five or eight people, I want you to get up and come down here. Stand over here right now. You better come, because I want you to share a little something. When you honor one another, there is a blessing that comes upon your life. I remember Chuck, my goodness. I was 21, 22. I remember walking into Evangelistic Christian Community Church, and Chuck was there. Come on up, Ron, Phil. Come on up. And I remember, I thought he was Ken Hagin. But he was Chuck Wood, and we love you, and we honor you. Can we put our hands together again for him tonight? Phil, come on up.
45. Yeah, I can do it 10. No. I usually need things to prepare to say. As a teacher, I'm always preparing. So, Chuck, I'm unprepared, but I love you. You believe the word, and you believed in me, and I'm still teaching the Bible study back there, and I'm going to keep teaching it. And I'm going to do you proud. I love you.
Awesome. Come on. That's great.
I knew I was speaking tonight. Lord already told me that. But now I know I got 30 seconds. Chuck, I was 29 years old in 1978. You were 42, you and your wife. And you guys were teaching and leading a young group of people at the Full Gospel Tabernacle in Attica. And I've watched over all those years until now. You never stop teaching. And I look over this auditorium, and for as many seats as I see here, I've watched you as a farmer sow, and I've watched you as a farmer reap. As many seats as there are, as how many, at least as many people as you've touched. You're a lover. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, Father Chuck, it's been 37 years we've known each other, wasn't it? Chuck helped teach me the years ago, Kenneth Hagin, Word of Faith, and we've gone to ear shows together. We've had a lot of fun together. My dad at my shop got to know Chuck and love Chuck as like a son, you know. So thank you so much, buddy. I love you a lot.
Beautiful. Thank you, Beth.
Chuck, I remember you from the new converts class I was in. I still got the old Bible with all your verses and your teachings, but also recently in my growth, when I started leading the men's group, you were always so encouraging and told me what a good job I was doing, and that meant a lot. And I just love you for that. I love you for your encouragement. I love you for who you are. Amen.
Good job, Chuck. It's fun, isn't it?
Stephen, I just want to thank you for the way you see special, unique things that are sown inside of Paige and Parker. You always have a word of encouragement for them. You see the unique attributes that they have, and you call it out of them. And I am so grateful for the way that you love them like a grandfather. Thank you.
Pastor Marty, I honor you because you were my first pastor, and I learned what a pastor is because of you, so thank you. You're welcome. I mean that. Pastor Chuck, I call him Dad. For those of us who haven't had an earthly father who was around, he lets me call him Dad. Linda lets me call him Dad, and I'm so grateful for that. He was there when I was baptized. He ministered to me. He and Pastor Marty and many others were there when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1999 when I was a baby Christian. And that was massive. And like so many of you, Kenneth Hagin, he put that word into me, the word of faith, the word of God. And no matter where God has placed me, you encourage me in the kids' ministry I'm doing. You say, yes, daughter, that's, you know, you're always there. Thank you for letting me call you my father in the Lord. That is massive because I will be weighing something out and I'll hear, now daughter, and I'll hear your voice. And I mean that. I hear your voice. I have voicemails and it'll be like, this is your dad. So that may sound weird, but Ryan, I understand because it's, thank you for letting me call you dad. I brag on you. I brag on you all the time that I have a father in the Lord who... thank you. I love you both so much, and I love this house.
Thank you.
Pastor Chuck, you genuinely care. You have sought me out at times to ask me how music is going, how my business is going. You share your stories, and you genuinely care. You are very intentional. You come right up to me, you find me on purpose, and I absolutely love it. And you're intentional in imparting your wisdom to me and sharing with me the experiences that you have in the same fields that I'm going into. And lastly, that wisdom that you have, Aaron mentioned calling you the cotton head that we've heard from others. You just have so much to offer. And the fact that you do that, that you're willing to share that. You don't keep it all to yourself. You just give it freely. That's what I love most about you. So thank you for sharing with me and seeking me out and caring.
Pastor Chuck, so I'm speaking for both Marty and I. You've spoken to both of our lives. You've prayed over at our wedding, and you've taught me to look beyond what I thought God had for my life. And no, I don't want to be a teacher, but I know that that's what God has taught me or created me to be.
And I thank you for that. And I want to thank you for your teaching about the Holy Spirit and healing. Because when Marty was going through everything in Hawaii, you know, I spoke those words to him, what you taught us. And for 28 days, he watched Kenneth Hagin in his hospital room, and he believed, and he was healed. He was healed. I want to thank you, both you and Linda, for speaking words into both my life and Marty's. And just speaking life into all of us at your Bible study, and I will never, ever forget those words. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Well, Pastor Chuck, I was thinking about how many years we've known each other. And one thing that I can say is Benjamin will be 40 in December. And I know you guys call him Little Benny and whatever, because they remember when he was born, when I was having him. That's a few days ago. And one thing I have to say of anybody, Pastor Chuck and Linda have really seemed to enjoy watching my kids grow. You know, when you're trying to do music and doing the choir and trying to do different things, not at this church but another church, and running around and your kids are running around and sometimes they'd crawl underneath the front pew all the way to the back, and I'd be trying to catch them. Chuck and Linda have never once said anything or been critical of my children, and I'm appreciative. And I guarantee you they haven't said anything critical about yours either. And even Ryan, from a man that he is, and it just encourages me so much because I know you enjoy watching my children grow and to see what they've become. And that means a whole lot to me. I think it should mean a whole lot to everybody here that they're so accepting and so kind and never really had children of their own, but they actually have a whole church full of children. They have generations of children. And I thank you. I thank you for your kindness, for your teaching, for your encouragement, because I know you come up to my boys all the time and tell them. You seek them out in order to encourage them, and I really appreciate that.
Beautiful. Come on. Well, I guess we should hear something from the general before we close tonight, so I won't make you get up and come up here. I'll just come over and...
Thank you very much. If I can ever pass anything on to anybody and give you anything, this I would give you. Stay close to Jesus. Stay fascinated on him and stay with him, because he's like, as they had the old saying, like the muck. He said, if you stay with the muck when it's dry, it'll stay with you when it's wet. And he'll stay with you from hell and high water, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. Thank you very much. I appreciate this so much.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I love you, Chuck. You've been a good friend. You'll continue to be a good friend. And we've just had some great times talking, and he's inspired me and imparted things to me. And I shared it at the men's meeting last night. I don't know, 22, 24 years ago, I was just going through hell. I'll never forget it. He just came around me. He just said, oh, you're going to be fine. You're going to get past that. That's nothing. He'd move right on to it, and he'd talk about what kind of gun he just bought or so, I don't know. And I'm like, wait a minute. I want to grieve. I want to feel bad. He says, you're going to be fine. You're all right. And it was true. He spoke that in my life. I want to say thank you tonight. I wish I could have all of you come down, just lay your hand on him, but I just want you, if you would, to just stand. Stretch your hand out towards Chuck. I don't know, some of these men, Ron, Phil, Chuck, Jim, come on down. Stand around him. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we declare over our brother tonight strength. Lord, you said with long life we will be satisfied. I believe that over his life tonight. I thank you for the rebound. I thank you for strengthening and healing. I thank you for a testimony in this man's life that speaks stronger now than it may even decades ago. I pray, Lord, that the latter years of his life will see greater increase, greater favor, greater insight of your word, greater revelation. I pray in the latter years of his life when he lays hands on sick people, afflicted, hurting, those that are in pain, God, that we will see the miraculous take place, Lord. I pray, God, even in this house, Lord, you will use him to see signs and wonders come to pass right before our eyes, Lord. We thank you for it. I pray over Chuck and Linda tonight. I pray your blessing, your favor, the goodness, the kindness of God to be their portion. We bless them now. Come on, everybody say, I bless you. We bless you now in the name of Jesus. And everybody said a big amen. Come on, can we put our hands together one more time? Well, if we weren't in the COVID thing, we would celebrate tonight. You know, we'd have food, and we're going to do that when things get a little on the other side of it. We're going to have a party together. How many of you like a good party? And I don't know, should we have bologna and hot dogs that night? Or yeah? No chicken, right? No chicken. I love all of you. If you want to come down by here and just wish Brother Chuck a happy birthday, come on down. Love one another. Honor one another. Go in his grace. We love you a lot.